Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Make Better Wedding Films, the home of new ideas for radical films about people in love. My name is Ben. I will be your host. And before we get into the show, just got a couple of announcements from our sponsors. The first of which is Music Bed. Now, today we are going deep on music and specifically some more advanced Music Bed functionality. We're going to go in on how to search within a certain key, some really good, like, in-depth Music Bed hacks. So yeah, if you guys are new to Music Bed, maybe you're struggling to sort of, you know, go deep and find the tracks you want, today is the episode for you. And if you guys haven't yet signed up for Music Bed, what are you doing? Use the link below. It's a promo code. It gives you your first month free to try it out. You will not go back, and lets them know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Our second sponsor is Studio Ninja. Now, looking for music, working on sound design, it all takes time. How do you find that time? You free up all that boring admin by automating it with Studio Ninja. They will help you automate emails and send invoices without even thinking about it. So if you guys want more time to search for amazing tracks and work on beautiful sound design, then sign up for Studio Ninja. You'll get your first year at half price. That's like $125 or something. Absolute bargain for the amount of time you guys will save using Studio Ninja. So yeah, link below. Plus, it lets them know that we send you, which helps out the show. Win-win. Alrighty, team, that's it for the announcements. On to the episode. Sound is half your story is a mantra I think I will always bring up on this podcast. I think it's something, as filmmakers, we can keep coming back to and exploring, experimenting and educating ourselves in. On today's show, I'm talking with Boomer and Sarah from Multiply Media about the marriage between music and sound design, how to tell stories with music, how to evoke memories with sound, and how to manipulate the various elements of our audio in order to have each piece shine through. My name is Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films. Boomer, Sarah, kia ora te whānau, no mai, haere mai, welcome to the Make Better Wedding Films podcast. It's nice to have you guys.
It's an honor, man. We really appreciate it. We've been listening to the show for a while and yeah, we love it.
Amazing. Well, it's fantastic to have you guys on the show. Like we were saying just before we jumped on the air, I feel like you guys exploded out of the ether and I've been seeing like nothing but you just doing all sorts of crazy cool things with jumping on podcasts and doing sound packs and just amazing. You guys look like you're fucking killing it. Your films are amazing. You guys do some crazy cool stuff. You've just got a really clear vision for your work, it seems. There's just a really clear vision for, and I love that you guys have sort of put yourself like at the forefront of your brand, and sort of there's just a really clear like understanding of like who these couples are having for their day, what you're making for them.
It means a lot coming from you. I don't say that lightly. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure, team. Mutual admiration society, as always. Today we're going to be talking about music and sound design and kind of how those two camps meet, I think, is that sort of going to be an interesting topic for us to talk about today, kind of building off two key strengths of yours, and kind of taking two sort of individual, I guess, skills and like sort of parts of the editing process and figuring out how those two things sort of meet, how they interweave, how they speak to each other, and how we can make just like the best fucking sound for our films.
Awesome. Oh yeah.
Love it.
So before we kind of dive into it, do you guys want to give us a bit of a background, bit of a rundown on who you guys are? I'm sure people are sort of relatively up to speed now, but specifically in relation to your journey with both music and videography.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So we're Multiply Media, this Boomer, Sarah, this is my beautiful wife. I'm so lucky to have her. We're based in Denver, Colorado, and we travel for a lot of our weddings too, not just local. And we have been around for 2.5 years. We started 2.5 years ago doing weddings in March of 2020. We were just doing elopements and intimate weddings because that's all you could do during that time. And my background actually started out in music. So that's music is really what I'm best at. I mean, my mom dragged me to a piano lesson when I was like 4 years old. I was addicted ever since. And then I just started to learning all these instruments. I mean, drums, guitar, piano, woodwind instruments, bass, like any instrument. Like I play a lot of instruments good. I don't play any of them great. And like junior high boomer, you know, like wanted to start a band. And so he held like rehearsals or whatever. And then nobody showed up for practice. kind of sad, but true.
Sad boy boomer.
And then that's what actually drove me into production. Cause I was like, screw you guys. Like I could do this myself. I could be a one man band. And there started from GarageBand, went up to Logic and Pro Tools, and just messed around in DAWs and wrote and produced and released music. And when college kind of came around, I didn't want to go to college because the systems are kind of weird. You can't get into like actual studios for 1 to 2 years until like your junior year. So I was like, okay, whatever. I went back to Colorado, knocked on a bunch of studios in Denver, Colorado Sound Studios, Side 3 Studios. Hey, I'm a young producer. I want to learn. And from there, I just sat in on a bunch of sessions, learned hands-on work. I convinced a audio engineer and a music producer to come to my house 3 days a week and teach me. And man, I just dove right into the music production world. And then I really turned to video because people just don't value music the way they do video. It's actually weird. Like the society like we're living in is people, I mean, we're just kind of living in this McDonald's generation of music consumers. Between like video, I mean, like video is so valued in this world. It's like, if you don't know how to do video, you don't know how to talk these days. And so I turned to video, which was like, okay, I think I can start a company that, you know, creates videos, and I already know how to do music. I know tension and release. I know story. I know pacing. And so video really came pretty easy to me. And then went into brand work and real estate and hated that, and switched to weddings. That's kind of where Sarah comes in.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So I don't have as extensive of a background in music, but I loved singing growing up. I would do all the singing competitions. I tried out for American Idol a couple times. Made it past the first round, so that was exciting. But yeah, I always loved music. I just didn't have any of the skills to kind of do anything with it. And then as far as going to school, I actually moved out to Colorado from Missouri for art school. I was big into painting, and kind of played around with a couple different things as I was going into adulthood, but landed in fitness. And at the time that the pandemic hit, I was actually working at a fitness studio, training clients there, and then working in corporate wellness as well. And I had never really picked up a video camera, maybe kind of playing around with Boomer a little bit. But I basically started stealing his camera to film stuff for this gym so that they could build their online presence. And he gave me a quick little rundown on Final Cut, and I learned it super quick. And
really quick.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like tapping into this whole other art form that I feel like I actually would think in video a lot. Like I would visualize things. And it was cool to finally be able to like create something that I had in my head, on a computer. So, and visually. So that was really cool. Yeah. And then started learning. Started practicing for this gym, eventually got to quit my corporate job and just do that full time for them, being their like content creator and manager. And then fall of that year, 2020, we decided to kind of team up and make Multiply Media husband and wife team. And it's been so fun ever since getting to work together full time and travel while doing it.
Amazing. Amazing. Because I feel like the last few conversations I've had with people on the podcast, has been from people who sort of started right as the pandemic hit. You know, they've sort of started within the sort of 2 to 2.5 year period. And it blows my fucking mind, the idea of like starting something new, like right as the pandemic hit, and then you just like fucking go balls to the wall on that. And we were talking a bit about it before we jumped on air about how my experience is very different. Like I started 10 years ago. It was very, very, very slow burn. No competition, no pressure, no like pressure to kind of like hit the ground running and just go for it. So I'd love to just touch quickly on your guys' experience of like, how was it just sort of going, okay, we're going to do multiplayer media, we're going to like go in together, husband and wife team, we're going to do weddings. Like, what was your sort of critical thought process to sort of go from like start to kind of where you guys are now? Did you have a vision of like what the journey was going to be, what the goals were, or things you were going to hit along the way?
Totally. Well, I think what you said about, you know, you doing this for 10 years, it really laid the groundwork for us, us newbies, to like look at, you know, people who have, who make incredible wedding films. I mean, I skipped over weddings so easily because I was like, wedding, I'm better than wedding videos. You know, it's like everyone knows the cookie cutter, you know, wedding film or highlight film, I guess you could call it, you know, and it's really what inspired me to, you know, oh man, like I think we have something here, you know, the way we shoot, mm-hmm. the way we capture stories, the way we want to incorporate music and sound. Mm-hmm. I think we can do this, you know, mm-hmm. and it was a slow process, you know, of building a brand. And I'm not going to lie, like we still don't know exactly who we are. I think we're humble enough to say that like building a brand takes 5, 10, 20 years, you know, we're 2.5 years into this. And, mm-hmm. and what we really are trying to do is, just lean into who we are, like as mm-hmm. people, you know. I think the first year was very much like getting inspired by the greats out there. And then the second year, what we're kind of following into right now is like, wait, like, What are we actually good at? Like we're good at music, you know. That's mm-hmm. that's our backbone of our business. We're people. Mm-hmm. We love people a lot, you know. We love community. We shoot very much documentary style. We're not really cinematic, you know. It's been a while since I put a 60 frames per second into our wedding film or 120. We shoot 24 all the time, so it's like. That first year looking at people, and then that second year just, all right, let's lean into who we are, because that's what a brand is, or that's how you get your idea couple is like, mm-hmm. well, who would we want to shoot with? You know, who would we want to hang out with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something we noticed like pretty soon after joining or kind of like combining our forces was it was just so cool to have the husband and wife aspect, but like I could relate to the bride and like get excited for her and you with the guys. And it makes this really good camaraderie with our couples. And I love weddings. I love everything about them. I always have. I love being in them. I love attending them. I love filming them. And so, yeah, it just became this like really exciting idea that, oh my gosh, like we could really do this for a living. And we would get to travel together, work with amazing couples who become friends and tell stories that make people feel something and that people are going to be able to watch 50 years down the road and remember one of the most special days of their life. It was just so cool. And I think even in what Boomer was saying about developing the brand, it's like also leaving room for it to evolve over time, because like we're going to be changing, the industry is going to be changing. And so just flowing with, yeah, the naturally occurring change that's going to happen in that.
It's kind of quite amazing how like self-aware you guys are in the kind of the broader scheme of your journey and your process with this. I think a lot of people aren't, and I think a lot of people like don't have that kind of self-awareness to go like, okay, I don't really know everything about like what the brand is. I know that it needs to sort of solidify, and that's a process that kind of takes time, and sort of understanding like what strengths you can bring to thing and like who you're trying to serve and stuff. And so have you guys like sort of for where you guys are now, what's your kind of understanding of like what multiplayer media is, like who is your couple, what are the kind of film you're making from them, and kind of like in a broader sense, like do you feel like that's somewhat solidified now, or do you still feel like you've got some refining to do in that kind of brand aspect?
I love that question. Yeah, it is interesting the process that like kind of we're in. being kind of new to everything is I think it was like a month ago, I just wrote one paragraph of what I think Multiply Media is that I was completely happy with, you know, and it's been like 2.5 years and, you know, I don't even know what our website says. The copyright probably isn't that great, but that one paragraph, I stepped back and I was like, this
That's
is
what we are.
Yeah. And, yeah. And like, it's taken that long to get there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your question, you know, I'm a multiplier. That was a word spoken over me, really, really long time ago. I have a tattoo of a multiplication sign on me. It's about multiplying people, multiplying memories, multiplying ideas. It's based off the parable of multiplying your talents. Are you going to bury them? Or are you going to multiply them? I wouldn't say we care about, you know, like the environment of, you know, if it's an elopement or if it's a wedding or intimate wedding, like, we shoot all of it. I would say it's more about like who we're shooting, you know, the mm-hmm. couple, like does this couple like care about their story? Mm-hmm. And you can figure that out pretty quick, you know, mm-hmm. even from the call is like, do they truly care
yeah.
about their love story mm-hmm. and their love, you know, period.
I mean, even in the questionnaire, like there's people that, you know, write 2 sentences to describe their journey of like getting engaged. And there's people that write novels, and I feel like we always gravitate towards the people who write novels. And obviously, like, if a couple's getting married, they do love each other. But it's like, how yeah. much do they want to share that and tell that story for themselves and, like, with their friends and their family through the video? So, just, like, people that invite us into their story, I guess. And, like, everyone has a story, but it's just how vulnerable are they willing to be in front of us? And, how well can we like capture and tell that story?
Like I said too, like we shoot very documentary style.
Documentary? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm making up words.
Documentary style.
Documentary or you're a documentarian is the...
Okay.
Yeah. I kept thinking you were saying that.
Yeah, I probably am saying stuff wrong.
Anyway. No, you're probably right.
I wouldn't say our style is like super cinematic. Like I'm not worried about, you know, moving everything out of the bridal suite, you know, to get the perfect shot, or, you know, having the bride like look down and then slowly look up at the camera. I think what we shoot is very like real. I think I'm worried about like, I think every, you know, filmmaker kind of worries like, are films going to be timeless, you know? And I mean, I might be totally wrong, but I think 24 frames is here to stay. I don't think 24 frames is going anywhere anytime soon. I sometimes question if like that cinematic feel is going to be like timeless. I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
I think there's definitely, because I see elements of both in your kind of style, because it's like, I think people often conflate like intense or like dramatic with cinematic, because you can have like cinematic stuff that isn't like slowly looking up and like smoldering eyes and everything slow mo, because like how often do you actually see slow motion in a movie anyway?
Yeah,
true. You never see slow motion in a movie. But it's kind of like a you guys do have, still have like a beauty and a sort of cinematic sense and approach to your visuals and your storytelling. And you're definitely bringing in some of those kind of like more like raw documentary styles. There was one film I saw where you started the whole film with all these like, it was almost like a home YouTube channel of this couple,
yeah,
like talking to camera. And I loved that. It just started the whole film off just super like raw and fun and approachable. And yeah, I loved that. That was great. Camera, I kind of lost my train of thought there just thinking about your work. But what was I trying to sort of say about that? I guess.
The mix of documentary.
Yeah, I guess like, do you kind of, when it comes to like you've because you're talking about your couples before, like in terms of like the film you make for them, do you find that your couples keep coming back to you asking for the same kind of film? Or are you guys sort of in this process now where you kind of like morphing your style to kind of fit these couples?
I mean, it's interesting. I don't feel like people request something specific from us. I think it is kind of like us morphing, like staying true to our style, yet like finding what we can use to make their film unique, I guess. Because I mean, very, very few times have we had couples be like, okay, we're really wanting this style kind of thing. Typically it is just they've seen our work. They trust us. They know their film is going to be unique to opposed to some filmmakers who it's just like kind of cookie cutter, very similar. Would you agree?
I don't know how to answer that question. I think that's the part of growing, I think, is just constantly just trying new things. And I think with time, we will kind of come into our own. But for now, I'm trying anything and everything. I mean, I hired an animation artist, you know, the other day to put animation in our film. Trying new things with music, trying different openers. I think that's part of the growing process.
Yeah, I think so. Certainly that's what I'm seeing. There's these stages of progression for people, it seems, where like you've got one stage where you're like sort of getting just your pure kind of competency up. And then there's kind of this stage where like you're technically competent. You can, you know, make beautiful footage. You can tell a good story. You can make a great film. You've got good taste. But you're in this sort of experimental stage where you like, you're trying this sort of storytelling style and you're trying this sort of music and you're trying these sorts of editing things. And it's like every film's a banger, but it's like, it's the sort of exploration process. And it sort of seems like you sort of, there's people who go from that to sort of this sort of final stage, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe not a final stage, but the sort of next stage of like, the style of the films becomes very, very clear. And you can look at like any film they make and instantly know like that's a bottle brush film or that's a JMac film or that's a multiple media film. And there becomes these really, really clear fingerprints because it's this sort of like feedback loop of like you do one, you like experiment all around and you find these things and one thing sticks and the couples go, I want that. And you do it again. And then the same couples sort of go, I want that, I want that. And you sort of naturally sort of funnel down into the sort of like sort of condensed version of like what is your kind of authentic style, I think is really interesting to watch people sort of go through that process.
Yeah. And that also comes through the branding too. And, you know, like I heard on another podcast, the guy was talking about creating a world that kind of like has rules and boundaries, you know, and I was like, man, I want that, you know, like that's what I desire someone to watch our, a film of ours or anything and, you know, undeniable, boom, that's multiplying me, boom, that's bottle brush, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. It's interesting to see. And I think I think what's interesting to see with you guys too, just, like as you're sort of starting to acknowledge, like, yeah, like music is our kind of backbone and stuff. And sound like, cause I kind of want, I want to get us into talking about your kind of creative process with that now. Where did like in your process, with sort of like developing your filmmaking style, was music and sound always there? Because it's not something that people naturally do. It's like, especially the sound design stuff. It's like, yeah, were you looking at what other filmmakers were doing and going, yeah, I can do that. Plus I can bring all my sound, you know, not knowledge in, or is this sort of something that you've sort of, it's come in later and going, I can actually sort of, you know, go deeper than most people do in that regard.
Yeah. Like I said, the first year was just really like, wide eyed looking at what everybody does. The second year I was like, oh wait, like I can bring a song into Logic or Pro Tools in my digital audio workstation and manipulate the crap out of it and add instruments and, you know, put this section here and that section there and, you know, and then balance it out, export it. And then I think I put like a little tutorial on that and I just had, we had tons of feedback of like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And then, and I think I actually posted, an Audio Tip Tuesday, like a tutorial. I think it was like 10 minutes on our IG stories. I mean, yeah, just like on our IG stories. Cause I was like, are people going to like this? Tons of feedback on that. And then I was like, oh, maybe we should, you know, do a Music Monday. Maybe we should do an Audio Tip Tuesday. Maybe, you know, I think people, we actually have something to bring, you know, maybe we should create a sound pack, you know, that would be sick. Like, how can we help this industry? How can we bring a voice to the power of sound and music?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk now about your creative process. When it comes to music, and I kind of want to start like at the process for you, like what's kind of the beginning process for you? How do you kind of figure out what music you're going to need for the film? And where does that sort of thinking, at what point in the kind of editing creative process does that sort of come along?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously in order to find the song, we need to like, or the songs for our film, we need to figure out like what's this couple's style? What's their taste? What's going to mean the most to them? And so there's a few different things we use to figure that out. We send out a questionnaire a month before the wedding, kind of going over, the last minute details, kind of how the day is going to look. And then we always end the questionnaire with like, what are your top three favorite artists for both the groom and the bride? And then what are your favorite movies? Cause that sometimes kind of plays into their style as well. But yeah, basically figuring out what's our music taste. And then we also have an adventure session for all our couples. And it's basically, I'm sure you know what that is, the equivalent of like an engagement shoot for photographers. But we typically use that time to really, really get to know our couple. And again, just like getting curious about who they are, their style, their taste, how do they interact, in front of the camera. And then keeping tabs on their social media can be helpful sometimes, depending on if they post reels or videos, like what's the kind of music they gravitate towards.
Are they and going then, to concerts?
Yeah. Are what they going concerts to concerts? Like who are their, again, favorite artists? And then I think the biggest thing is just like on the actual day of their wedding, when you think about the billions of songs they could choose from, they chose like 5 to 6 songs for these really intentional moments, the recessional, the processional, the first dances, even the grand entrance, like maybe their last dance song. These are all songs that are going to be really, really meaningful to them. And yeah. So just paying attention and it's almost always so unique to the couple.
I think also like the recessional, like the, when they, you know, when the couple kisses and they're like walking down the aisle and everyone's cheering, I think that's the most underrated song that people don't listen to. Like I'm always listening. Like what is the song that releases all the tension of being built up? Boom, pronounce you husband and wife. Like that song is very telling of what kind of like the party scene in your film could look like.
Like the celebration. It's all led up to that celebratory moment.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That is a perfect representation for them what celebration should sound like. You're absolutely right.
Totally.
And I love the idea of like it's releasing. Like that's the kind of the release of all that build up, that anticipation. That's the release. You're absolutely right. Do you guys set like kind of like genre boundary, like say if a couple of picking all songs sort of around their wedding around a similar genre, do you guys sort of like set like genre boundaries for your couples, for your films, or are you sort of open to going a bit wider beyond that?
So the music producer in me says no, like I'm open to everything, you know, because let's say like a country artist, you know, walks into my studio and is like, hey, I want to produce a country song. You know, I might be a producer that's really good with, you know, EDM or pop, but, you know, who am I to say, no, I can't do country? So yeah, I would say it kind of comes back to like who this film is for. Like it's not for you. Like it's for the couple. I know people and filmmakers who do like to stay within boundaries. I'm actually really curious to hear your answer too, but my like producer in me says like, whatever genre, you know, like you guys want, like this is for you guys, you know, I'm going to do my best to get that in for you. And probably a part of me and my artistry will kind of mesh the two as well, you know?
But like in terms of like, I guess sort of, because when you start the film and you're trying to, I imagine you'd be like picking out the speeches and things like that and trying to figure out like what music's going to go at what part of the film, what's going to amp up this emotion and stuff. Like, you know, the world's your oyster. You could pick any song in the world. Like, do you guys, as part of that kind of creative process, do you kind of like set in boundaries to help you just kind of like clarify your kind of search process in that regard?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, like Music Bed is perfect for that. Like it has different playlists. It has different genres. It has different moods, has keys. Like it's perfect. There's thousands of songs that work incredibly well. Our like music picking process, like is, you know, after we cull pretty much all the footage, pull some great selects, like I just walk away from my computer. That's like my biggest thing of like, trying to find a song is, you know, I think we've all been there, you know, searching for a song on Music Bed, you're hunchback in Notre Dame, like on your laptop, just like, ah, you know, and then you look up at the clock and it's been 3-4 hours and you're like, wow, I feel like a failure. I haven't gotten anything done. Our best advice is just to remove yourself from that environment and just go on your Music Bed app and just listen, you know, and come up with like a playlist of 5 to 6 songs that you think will work. Like removing yourself from that environment, going for a drive or going for a walk, I think is really conducive to our creative process of finding a song.
Do you ever know, like, cause like for me, for example, as I'm sort of figuring out what this film's going to be, I'm picking my kind of like diegetic storytelling elements. I'm sort of laying out the order. Okay, you know, like, you know, we're going to hear about the groom from the dad, and we're going to hear about the bride from the groom, and then we're going to go into this and yada yada yada. Sort of like lay out the like what's the story, and then from there, like I sort of go, okay, like I need like this sort of feeling for the start. You know, sort of like write that down. Like I need to feel XYZ, and then from here, I need it to sort of like change to like this sort of feeling. And I sort of like lay out a shopping list for myself of like, what are the vibes I need from my music? And then like, kind of like go off that. Like, give yourselves kind of like a shopping list like that for like the kind of stuff you're trying to look for? Or are you kind of just more intuitive about it? Do you just kind of just like go open-mindedly like into the process and just sort of just see what comes, let ideas come naturally? What's that whole process feel like?
That's really cool hearing about your process. That's really interesting. Like kind of, I think you said a shopping list.
Yeah.
Of vibes. I think kind of for me, it's after going through all the footage, I have an overall feeling, maybe like a shopping list in my head of what's going to work. And one of my favorite things to do is just close my eyes and just completely just listen to music. I think we underestimate our imagination sometimes of what the film could actually be. One of my favorite quotes is, I close my eyes so I can see. I mean, you could just think about that quote like forever. I close my eyes so I can see. The whole idea of seeing is visualizing or imagining a world that you haven't created yet, having complete vision. And especially when you couple that with listening to music, mm-hmm. I mean, it's game over. Like the edit's like already done in my head. Like mm-hmm. I know what it's like. And that's probably because of my music background is I want to exercise my ears to trigger my imagination to then feel out what the film is going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think too, it helps like finding the music after you cull the footage, because then you kind of have a little bit of a roadmap and that memory of like what the day felt like and everything. So I don't think we've ever mentally thought of, oh, we're looking for a shopping list of these feelings. But after going through the footage and getting a sense and remembering, you know, what the day was like for them, that makes a ton of sense.
When it comes to like music bit and stuff for you guys, like I mentioned, as someone who understands music a lot better than I do, is there a way that you use the platform that sort of suits you? Like, do you have your own custom playlists? Do you search in like keys and stuff? Because I don't touch keys because I don't understand notes in music. I can listen to a piece of music and decide if I like it or not. I couldn't tell you what key it's in. You know, I don't have any sort of technical knowledge of music. My sort of whole approach to music is completely sort of intuitively. But are you like, how are you kind of using the platform? Have you sort of like, you know, worked it into, you know, worked things into your own custom playlists, or are you just diving into the playlists that are already kind of presented, all the tools that are already available?
Yeah. I love MusicBed. I think it is
hashtag sponsorship.
Hashtag sponsorship.
Hashtag sponsorship.
Yeah, I would say we make playlists for our couples, and that's kind of how we go about. You know, I'm always listening to the What's New playlist. I have some favorite filmmakers that I listen to their playlists as well, and I'll probably listen to MusicBed sometimes more than Spotify. You know, I'll just be in my car and I'll listen to MusicBed, and I'll, you know, if I'm even if I'm not editing a current film, I'll be listening to MusicBed and I'll find a song that works for a couple that I'm editing in like 2 months, and I'm like, oh, that was perfect. Like, that's probably saved me a couple hours just by just incorporating the MusicBed app throughout my day and through my drive to work and, mm-hmm. you know, walks or whatever. So I have that app open quite a bit. And then you asked about keys, correct?
Yeah. Are you using that feature like in your search to kind of like, I guess, get songs in the same sort of zone, or making sure they like sit next to each other, right?
All the time. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like should be a rule, but I think it's something that we strive for, because it's very it's probably subconscious to like the viewer or the listener that, you know, it remained in the same key, or this transition to a major fourth or a major fifth, or you know, the viewer probably will think something's like not right if you're transitioning from an augmented seventh up to that root note. Like, I could get super technical.
I love the show because I have absolutely no fucking idea what you're talking about, but it's great. I love that it's a thing, and because it's that, like, it proves that there's always something to learn. And so do you have any tips for people who have no fucking idea about even just how to start bringing that kind of level of knowledge down to something we can sort of grab onto?
Yeah. Root notes. I would just stick to finding the same key. So the first like minute and a half is, you know, we really try to pick a song that completely fits the couple. I mean, the song's got to be a home run that first minute, right? And then let's say that song is your root key, right? You can go on MusicBed, you can scroll down, and click on the key that song is in. And then usually from there, the film is going into, you know, vows and into toast and telling the story, very much setting the scene. So I want, you know, a very much like ambient cinematic. So I'll tell you exactly what I do. I scroll down, hit the key, boom, and then hit cinematic ambient, and then boom, hundreds, thousands of songs that, you know, have a cinematic and ambient feel. So you can get a little like what we like to call hype sandwich.
Hype at the beginning
and then very, you know, tear jerking, you know, emotional in between, and then hype at the end. From there, it's like, you know, the transition is seamless. Yeah, like it's perfect. You know, you can, That would probably be my like biggest advice, is just find the root key. It's very easy.
I like that. I like that as a, just a, a simple process of obviously the hype sandwich. I like that analogy. And then like figuring out like what's your banger song, what's the like just starting intuitively. Like, does this song feel right for this couple? Is this them? Is this what we're going to open on? Is this going to set the scene? And then from there going, okay, well, what's going to sort of, you know, mush alongside that beautifully. I like that. Okay. Cool.
Exactly.
That's something I can grab onto and I can do.
Yeah.
Good. Like major fifths and backwards sevenths. I'm like, wait, what?
Let me show you an example real fast. I have my little piano right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say this is your root note of C. Can you hear that? A perfect fourth would be this. Right? F. So what does this sound like to you?
Oh, yeah, like the wedding march.
Here comes the bride, right? So if you're transitioning from a root note to a fourth, it's subconsciously saying, here comes the bride. Like, I don't think the viewer is going to be able to, like, completely explain why, but...
Stop it. Fucking stop. Jesus. Yeah. Fucking Christ. Oh, my God. Okay, that was genius. Fucking love that. amazing. Cool. Fuck. Okay, here we go.
good job, babe.
Good job, babe. Okay, so we've got our music. We've sort of, you know, got things that fit in the same key and stuff. Like, do you find yourself... I kind of know the answer to this question already, but like, the process of cutting and reorganizing and manipulating the music to fit your story, like, what's your process to approaching it? I know that you do it, obviously, because you've got the skills to do it, but what makes you chop up a song, where and why, and what's some sort of tips to make a song like fit the story rather than the story fitting the song?
I think this goes back to your shopping list. You know, maybe I do that in a little bit quicker segments, you know, like 5 seconds, 10 seconds here. You know, like, I want to build here. I want it to slow down right here. I mean, not like hearing the song that's 3 minutes and 40 seconds and not taking that song for face value. Your edit doesn't have to be 3 minutes and 40 seconds, you know? And I almost always bring a song into my DAW, my digital audio workstation, and chop up the song. I mean, I've gone to the extent of emailing artists on MusicBed for their stems, just begging them for their stems. I think that goes back to the shopping list idea. I want this music to fit the story and not vice versa. So I'm going to put sections where I need to.
Are there any like don'ts or things that to keep in mind around like when you should or shouldn't break a song? Is there a point that's going to feel really off?
I feel like if you transition two songs and lay them over each other, and they're not in the same note, sometimes it can be a little bit harsh.
Are you talking about one song or multiple songs?
I think I'm talking about one song in the sense of like...
Oh, God.
To make sure it doesn't feel chopped up, to make it feel natural. Is there things that you would definitely not do to make sure a song doesn't sound janky?
I think that just comes down to really like exercising your ears and like truly listening to music, like really paying attention to music and sequences, and patterns in music and, you know, hearing the beat, hearing the two and the four and the, you know, cutting at certain points. I don't know if I can completely articulate what would be bad to do, but I think it comes down to the feeling. Like it seems like you And whoever takes an interest in music but doesn't have like the correct terminology or background in music, they still just truly care about music. And that's really like the message that we're trying to get across of you know, this isn't rocket science, I would say, and I wouldn't be intimidated by this, but it's more about like a feeling of, does this feel natural, you know?
My background is in dance, so I experience music like I have an intuitive understanding of like you know, counts of eight and counts of four, and like I consider like I have a sort of natural understanding of where things can stop and start and how things round out and stuff, and because just sort of understanding if there's any things that are beyond that kind of quite simplistic kind of, you know, segmented understanding, if there's anything beyond that. But it's probably just a case of just, yeah, like you're saying, training your ears, just knowing what feels right and just making sure things aren't sounding janky, like we said before.
Janky.
Janks.
Last sort of question on music before we kind of jump to break here. But when you've got everything laid out, how are you guys making sure it's all kind of balanced? And like, how do you sort of like step back and look at the film from an audio standpoint, from a like kind of music and storytelling standpoint, and go, yep, everything feels right, everything feels balanced?
This is a really hard question too. You got all the hard questions, bro.
I don't make it easy for you guys. Come on.
You know, there's so many rules that you have of, you know, EQ and volume and keys and, you know, but like at the end of the day, like you can kind of just, it's kind of just like a feeling. Like what is this film for? It's for the couple, you know, as much as us as wedding filmmakers want to impress everyone with a, you know, other filmmakers with a banger trailer on Instagram, like the film is for the couple. So did the music, you know, completely represent who the couple is? You know, are they going to love it? Was it a hype sandwich? Was it cinematic? Was it, you know, like, I think, oh man, these hard questions still kind of just come back to the couple, I feel like. What do you think? I would love to hear your answer.
I would agree. I agree from talking to so many filmmakers, hearing that what always comes back is that if, as long as you keep going back to the couple, that's what keeps things authentic. That's what keeps things grounded. Yeah, I guess like when I, cause there's often times where I'm making a film and I've got all the different tracks laid out. And I'm like, it feels right, but I don't like, I can never like be 100% certain if that's the case. Like, I can never like know like if this song should go next to this one in this way, or maybe there's something better that should go between this and that. Is there something that could, you know, are you guys approaching that whole like, you know, this song into this song to this song from a kind of, I guess, more technical standpoint, or are you just going back more to that kind of gut feeling of like, is this feeling right?
I think it starts emotional, you know? So did you have that feeling at first when I'm closing my eyes and when I'm visualizing something and I can imagine the film right away? Boom. That's the gut feeling to go with that. And then it gets technical and then it should be, you know, emotional at the end. You know, like, can you close your eyes at the very end of the film and are you feeling something? You know, simple as that. Does this make you feel? Then it's probably right.
At the end of the day, like, music is kind of magic like that, and you can have all this technical understanding, but at the end of the day, it's like, if it's not hitting you here, it's like, it can be as technical as you want, but if it's not got the vibe, it's not got the vibe. All right.
I love
that. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Amazing. Cool. Well, I think that now's a good time to sort of jump to break. Let's pay some bills, and then we're going to come back and talk about the other side of the kind of audio spectrum, which is sound design, another strength of you guys. So yeah, let's jump to break, pay some bills, back in a second. Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US. And we're back. So, I mean, for those who know you guys, know you're big in the old sound design game. Why? What's the deal with sound design? Why are you guys into it? Why did you make a sound design pack? Like, why the focus? Why the emphasis? Why the love to sound design?
I love why questions. I think it's super important to just ask why. Just in general in life, why you're doing anything. I think sound, when you step back and realize the actual power of sound, it has the power to ignite memories in our lives. We've talked about this a lot, but, so, you know, we have five senses. But it actually turns out that our sense of sight is not as connected to our memory as our senses of touch, smell, and sound. So touch, smell, and sound is actually way more connected to our memory than our sense of sight. So if you think about, you know, what we're trying to do as wedding filmmakers is we're trying to ignite memories for our couples. Sound, you know, is one of the best ways to accomplish this. It triggers implicit memory, and it's a very like spiritual like gift that I don't think a lot of us can completely understand or explain why. You recently used the word magic, and I think that's a great way of describing what sound is. It truly is, you know, magic that, you know, scientifically like ignites dopamine inside of us when we hear, you know, music, when we hear sounds that we love. And yeah, it just comes back to our job, you know, like that's what we're trying to do is ignite memories for our couples. And so don't skip over sound, man. When you realize the power of sound, you'll actually make time for it.
Yeah. It's like, if you're not using sound design or sound effects, you're not tapping into the fullest potential of what the music in your video could be. And it's crazy when you think about, like, I can almost guarantee you any video you've ever watched where you got chills or like the hair on your neck stood up had sound effects in it. And like it just gives you that unconscious feeling of what you're seeing. And I think what you said, tapping into the memory, but it's not just like tapping into the memory, it's tapping into the emotion of the memory.
Emotion. Yeah. Emotion-based memory.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, because I agree with what you're saying around, like, the other senses can be more visceral for tapping into memory. And as videographers, we have access to only one of those other senses. You know, there's no smell-o-vision, there's no like haptic feedback for touch, there's no taste, not yet at least. You know, we've got visuals and we've got sound.
Hey.
That's what we've got. And yeah, you're right. Because I think it's like the music has this whole like emotional, like sort of force to it. It sort of like sort of leads your hand in the emotion. But it's almost like, certainly in the way that you guys use sound, it's like bringing the audio back to the kind of the visuals. It's like, because your sound design is playing off whatever's visually being shown. So it's just sort of like sewing those two things together, like sewing the sound and the visuals together with your sound design and stuff.
Absolutely.
It's really an approach, yeah.
That comes back to the definition of what a sound effects is. It's an artificial sound made to enhance something. You know, it's not taking over. It's not your music, but it's enhancing something.
I think that by definition, it says something about like creating the illusion of reality, which is, I love that verbiage, but yeah, it's so crazy.
It's a cool process that, again, like more and more of us are exploring, but it's one of these later things in the process that we're all sort of picking up and realizing, okay, yeah, I can do this. And so where does sound design come in for you guys? Like, is it once you've sort of, you like do all the music first and then bring in sound design, or is it more kind of interwoven throughout the process?
I would say most videographers, you know, they call the footage, they find the song, lay the footage over, color, and then it's good. Like it's a good wedding film. And a lot of videographers will send it off to the couple at this point. And that's when an entirely new editing process for us begins of laying over the sound effects. So, I mean, it's really just like prioritizing time for it in the editing process, whether it's an hour, whether it's 3 hours, like just putting some effort into it can go a really long way for the final product of your film.
Yeah. So for our process, it's at the end, but I mean, if it's interwoven, that's awesome. You know,
yeah,
if people are making time for it either way, like that's a win, you know?
Yeah. Is there any point, beforehand that you're thinking, oh, this sound would go great here, and I'm going to leave like, quiet space between two tracks so that I can allow more of a, you know, sound designed kind of, you know, section of the film here. Like, is there any sort of just even just like ideas that come to you throughout the editing process that you then implement later?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, every film is different, you know, not every film is going to be like the exact same. So you're going to get different ideas when creativity and when inspiration comes, you know, take it right there. But yeah, I think sound effects can really build tension and then complete release nothing. And then, they're really good for dynamics, you know?
When you are starting to sort of, you know, approach your sound design and go, okay, yep, we're going to sort of start to, amp up some of these moments and stuff. Are you first reaching for, sounds from the day itself, and then if you can't find them, going to sound effect packs? Or are there like, yeah, what's your sort of approach of deciding, okay, are we going to use something from the day or use something different?
So the producer in me wants to just do everything in post-production. and that's something that I actually really want to grow in, is actually using sounds and field recordings from the actual day. This is something that Story of Sound actually like really inspires me to, you know, do more of, because in my head, I'm like, birds are birds. They're all the exact same. Like I can find a sound effects that's, you know, a bird, you know, I don't need to record this on the wedding day. But I think I've heard other people talk about capturing sounds throughout the day. And I'm like, yeah, I probably need to do that. Like we should really grow in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and there are for sure times where we'll just pull the audio in from the footage.
Totally.
If it's like the group of people is laughing or right. like the bridal party is laughing, that kind of stuff. But it is for sure just like case by case of, what we're feeling for that film.
I feel like a wedding is already so difficult to capture, you know, like you're worrying about so many different things, and it's like, oh man, like I have to capture sounds throughout the day too. Okay. I'll try to add that to the list.
To the list of things you got to do. Yeah.
Cause it's what do you do?
Well, I'm fucking terrible at it. This is exactly why I'm having these conversations, because I'm at the very start of my sound design journey. Like every now and again, I try it and I can make it sound okay, but it's a skill that is not coming as naturally as other elements, and I'm having to sort of realize, okay, maybe I need to sort of think about this whole process a little bit differently. Because like, yeah, whenever I go into like sound design packs and stuff and sort of, yeah, look for wind or birds or waves and stuff, like I can't get it to gel, if that makes sense. And so like are you like, what's the sort of process for you guys to decide, yep, something fits here, or it's not really got the right sort of vibe? Again, is it intuitive, or have you got more of a kind of like technical framework that you will work from?
Yeah, I mean, I would say most of it's intuitive. I I think people, when they think of sound, they might get overwhelmed. And I would bring this back to saying, like, it's not rocket science. You know, like I would, you're putting sounds to like what you see. You know, so let's say you have a drone shot of, you know, the ocean, you know, think about putting an ocean, you know, sound effect, but field recording over there, and maybe, you know, low pass it so it seems like it's far away. And, you know, maybe put some seagulls in there too. And
but even that, like what you just said there, like that, even okay. just, you know, like low pass it so it seems far away. I wouldn't think to do that. And I think that's yeah. where these are the sort of things that I'm like, I'll put a thing on and I'm going like, that's too there. It's like yeah. it's sitting here right in front mm-hmm. of my face, like the technical knowledge to go add a low pass filter so it feels further away is the sort of shit that I haven't quite got Hell in my yeah. tool bag mm-hmm. yet. You know, so mm-hmm. I think this is the kind of stuff that's great for people to kind of learn to go like, because I think it's like there's like stage one of going like, yeah, I need sound design. And wrapped up within that is the very basic understanding of like, got a drone shot of water, put some water sounds, easy. Mm-hmm. But it's that next layer of knowledge to go add a low pass filter so it sounds further away is the sort of journey that I think a lot of filmmakers are mm-hmm. on with sort of mm-hmm. like figuring out how to massage it in properly.
Okay. No, that's really good then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thinking about proximity to what you're seeing in the video, like even laughing, like if they're 20 feet out in the distance, like you're going to bring that volume down just a little bit.
Yeah. I would think, you know, there's volume and then there's equalization, EQ, you know, what people call it. And that's dealing with lows, mids and highs. Just like think of your car radio that have, you know, the lows or they call it bass, I think. Mids are called the same thing, and then high frequencies.
Oh, it's that whole science of like things that are further away have a different pitch and stuff. But I don't really understand, like, so just from like a layman's understanding, like as you go further away, what on the EQ band should you be dropping at? Do you drop out the highs? Do you drop out the lows? Like,
so yeah, high cut and low pass are like the exact same terminology. So high cut is probably an easier thing to say for people to understand. You're cutting the highs. And you just have to make sure each section is balanced correctly and what our ears would hear, you know, if we are that high up from the ocean. It's very different than if we were like right next to the ocean.
Yeah. So if, you know, you're further away, only those deep low notes are getting to you. The sort of like sparkly high stuff isn't getting there. That's only the stuff you hear when you're close up.
Exactly. And that's how our ears are designed too. It's like really cool. Like seeing an equalization chart. If you have a second, Google what our ears hear. And where our actually voices are too, and the kilohertz between like where the human voice was made to speak, and how it's just so cool. Like a sound is so cool. I mean, it's entirely different.
Yeah, that's something I would love to talk quickly about too, around like, because yeah, like the human voice, especially, you know, like there's sort of like deep male voice, slightly higher female voice. They sort of, there's sort of like a median, like you know, frequency that those sort of live in. Are you doing anything in your sound design to kind of give clarity during speaking moments to those kind of frequencies?
For sure. I'm cutting the lows for sure. I'm boosting, you know, some mid / highs. There's a thing called a de-esser too. It takes out the S's. Super annoying, and it's super high frequency. It's like kind of like what dogs hear and how their ears were designed. You know, you hear the dog whistles that are just super high pitched that our human ears can't hear. And so, yeah, it's making sure, you know, for toast, for any type of dialogue, that it's like clean. The voice is very clean to what we hear, as humans, you know. And if we need to take away music for that, if we need to high cut some of the music so that the the dialogue can shine through, you know, instead of just turning down the music, you know, do we EQ the music, you know, just little things like that can boost your wedding film.
Cause yeah, that's something that I haven't quite sort of delved into too. Yeah. Like rather than just bringing the whole volume of the music down, do you just sort of bring down the frequencies in the music that the voice sort of lives in? So it's sort of, the music doesn't sound just like quiet. You can still hear the music, but it's not blasting through the voice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And stuff that I'm like just starting to sort of experiment with. It's, you know, it's all just, yeah,
and
learning through.
I'll say for us, I mean, it's probably comical how little we know about our cameras. You know, like, I mean, like when it comes to color, when it comes to shutter, like we're babies in that, you know, we're winging still like learn. Like I look at my color, you know, of our films and I'm like, it looks like shit, you know?
No, but it does. Like, and like thing is like cameras these days are fucking amazing too. Like it's like, I think what I'm maybe realizing now is kind of going back to what we were talking about at the start, around how you guys jumped in 2 years ago and I've been doing it for 10 years. The people who started 10 years ago, all we could think about was the visuals because they were so fucking dog shit. All you could think about was how do I make this thing better? How do I make this god awful 1080p contrasty banding fucking moire video somewhat acceptable? That's all you could kind of focus on, you know? Like it was just like your obsession to just like just get the visuals to like somewhat look okay. Barely had time to fucking think about audio. It's now that we've kind of got room to breathe, you know, we've got 4K, we've got 10 bit color, like the pressure's off to like really stress about like capturing a passable image that we, you know, it's sort of, we can sort of start to open up capacity to sort of think about, you know, like working on sound design and music and all this sort of shit.
That's cool. Really cool. Yeah. I think this industry like refers to us as, you know, videographers, which, you know, I'm not mad at, like, I don't get, you know, pissed off when I hear that, but like videographer entails that we capture video, you know, we capture videos, but really, you know, we're storytellers, we're filmmakers, you know, that's what we are. If you're going to refer to yourself as a videographer, like you have to refer to yourself as a music producer, an audio engineer as well, because that's what
sound
we're
designer,
doing, you know,
yeah,
films.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's one of those things that we sort of, I think too, it's one of those things you can get away with, you know, delivering to your clients, and it's one of these subconscious things. When it's there, you're like, fuck, this is amazing. When it's not there, like no one's going to pull you up on it. Mm-hmm. You know, no couple's going to go, hey, but what about the sound design?
Yeah.
You know, you know, so it's these things that we just, we coast through and we get away with. But I think a lot of us are going, okay, no, I want to step it up.
Yeah.
As you guys are kind of crafting your sound design, you know, you've made the film, you made music, you've done your gray and everything's sort of sorted and you're sort of into this whole sound design process. What's your kind of goal holistically? When do you kind of know it's done?
I think for us, it's the biggest thing about sound effects is it's designed to enhance the film. So when you think about like B-roll to A-roll, or even like harmonies in music, like the baseline melody that's there is beautiful. But when you add in that like harmony, it brings it to life and it gives it that depth that again, just makes you feel a little bit more. And so when we can tell that it's like, it's almost so subtle that people wouldn't really know to, you know, the naked ear. I don't know if that's a term. Is that a term? But like people wouldn't really know that it's there, but it's just elevating that.
You think about A roll and B roll, right?
Yeah.
You know, like your A roll is the dialogue or the vowels, whatever. The B roll is telling the story. It's like it's second important. It's not as important, but it's second important, you know, and that's what sound design is for us. It's not supposed to take over the music. It's not supposed to take over the dialogue, you know, it's there to support, you know, your audio, you know, and when it's done that job, then I think we feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's, cause I never feel confident in the kind of like the amount I'm putting in. I either feel like it's token or I feel like it's absolutely way too heavy handed. And so like, do you guys have like a rule of thumb, a heuristic that you work to like make sure that you're not like putting in too much or too little when it comes to like, you know, these sound design elements?
I hate this answer, but it really just goes back to that feeling, you know, like our Iceland film, we're putting in over 100 sound effects.
That was a sound design heavy.
Cause the film needed it. We were serving the film, you know, a barn wedding that is in Denver, you know, doesn't need that much. It really doesn't. I actually just had a filmmaker reach out to me over Zoom and ask me to watch his film or his trailer. And it was like a garden party theme wedding. And he was like, what do I need to add? Like, what, you know, do I need to add stuff, you know, here and there? And I'm like, honestly, you don't need much. I would first look at the environment that you're shooting in. Mm-hmm. And if the environment, tells that there's a ton of nature and there's a ton of, you know, things that you can add, then go for it. Have a heyday, you know, if you're in a place like Iceland. But, you know, for just a regular wedding or, it's such a hard answer to.
Is it more about like going back to that whole memories thing? Is it about like what audio elements are gonna like feed into that kind of positive memory like experience? You know, like if crowds chattering and sort of like mundane sounds are not gonna like have a positive memory feedback, is that something that you then leave out? Whereas like say with in regards to Iceland, like the visceral experience of that kind of very raw Icelandic landscape was all part of the memory, so you want to like drive that
absolutely
home.
Yeah, and there might be some parts of your film that don't need any, you know, sound effects, and there might be, you know, a moment where it needs all of them, you know. I wouldn't say I wouldn't force any sound effects, you know, here and there, but I think it is a very much like intuitive process. And then it comes back to what you said, is it going to trigger implicit memory?
This element of the process is for me one that I find probably the most frustrating. It's like balancing everything, because I've talked with a few people now on the podcast about sound design and stuff, and like, it should feel subtle and in the background, and you shouldn't like really be aware of it. But fuck me, I can never quite get it to feel like right. You know, I'm either can't hear it, and I'm like, what's the fucking point? I can't hear it. What's the point? What's the point of all this work if I can't hear it? But then I just shift the needle a tiny bit, and I'm like, now I can't hear the song, or I can't hear what people are saying. All I can hear are these fucking birds. So like, what's the process for you guys for balancing everything? Especially because like, for example, when I'm like got the music, you know, decibel level, I'm sort of like, you know, filling out my bandwidth with that. If I drop it down, I feel like the music's too quiet to give room for. How do you like balance, you know, how do you fit everyone in the room when it comes to music, speeches, and so sound design? How does it all
balance
out?
Question is, what are you what output are you using to edit your weddings? Are you listening to it on headphones or you know, speakers?
So I've got these Audio Technica like monitor headphone things, that's where I sort of edit off.
Okay, sick. I would break this into probably two different categories. Like I recently said, is volume and EQ. So it's really good to be aware of your lows, your mids, and your highs, and low passing music when dialogue, you know, comes in, or you know, if you have something very sharp, like even, you know, high cutting, you know, birds or, you know, anything, adding reverb to something maybe. And then also listening to your film, on different types of outputs. So I'm constantly always switching, different outputs. So I listen to it on the big rocket monitors. You know, I'm listening to it on my headphones. I'm listening to it. Maybe this is like a producer thing. But like a huge rule of thumb is after you like make a song, go straight to your car and listen to it in your car. And, you know, and then listen to it on your laptop, maybe even on your phone, you know, once you get like a good balance of like all those, and maybe even start just trying to edit just on your laptop speakers, because that's what your cup was more than likely going to be listening to, and consuming the film is just constantly changing. Those will train your ears, I think, to make better decisions I keep kind of talking about exercising your ears. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, but just like you exercise your eyes to see color and to see exposure, you're also exercising your ears to not just listening to music, but truly like, listening to different instruments and dialogue and frequencies. Like I think you'll really pick up when you start to truly listen to things on different thing.
I hear what you're saying. And there's parts of it that I understand the process, but I think like just being more confident to jump into that EQ and play around to pull some of those things out, give some room in certain places. You know, that's something I could probably try, and because I often find myself frustrated simply playing with volume sliders mm-hmm. to get everything to fit, and I can never quite get it to. I think it's going back to what we were saying at the about like the ocean sounds with the drone shot. It always sounds here, no matter how it can be like loud here or quiet here, but it's always right
Dude,
here.
High cutting.
And I can never quite.
High cutting or low passing is going to change your life. Now that I'm thinking about my editing process of sound effects because of all these incredible questions, I'm high cutting almost everything. I mean, I'm cutting, reverses, booms, swooshes.
Swooshes.
If you feel like that, just the terminology that you're describing of sound that's right in your face is a direct correlation to high frequencies. Because that's what our ears are hearing mostly, are these mid to high frequencies. And if you take those just down a little bit, I think it's going to change your life.
It's going to change your life.
It's going to change your life. Do you want your life to be changed?
Yes, I do. I think you actually hit it on the head, to be honest. I'm going to go away and I'm going to try this. And I feel like this is going to be the thing that I've been missing to like really make it all click, you know? Because it's like, I know like what I should be doing, but I've got to kind of hit this wall of around like, I know what I should be. I'm doing what I've been told to do. I've been a good boy. I'm doing the sound design.
I've been a good
boy. Dude, I think that's that. It. I'm really glad you actually came back at me again, because I think the educational part of this whole music stuff is like very new to us.
Yeah.
And so actually trying to articulate mm-hmm. something that I've known my entire life is something that I'm growing in. I really think it's the highs, the high frequencies.
All righty. That's what I'm going to do and work on stripping those high frequencies out, playing around with EQ, seeing if I can get things to just sort of settle in a bit nicer. Cool. All right. Well, team, as we kind of like round things out, we've just ended on a pretty banger bit of info there for people to sort of take with and sort of start to play around with. But, you know, do you think there's any... any other sort of tips or ideas for that people could sort of take forward to people who want to, you know, upskill their kind of marriage of music and sound design?
I would say if you make time for it and you understand the power of sound design, then you're in the right arena of what you need to do. There's obviously, you know, we do Audio Tip Tuesdays where we really, really dive into, you know, tutorials of breaking down music or breaking down sound designs on our Instagram. But if you just, the simple truth of just caring and making time after you put your cool LUT on and you color every single, you know, every single clip, you know, if you set a timer and you make time to just do some sound design, then you're already winning.
Mm-hmm. I also think we live in a time where it's like, we have so much access to information. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, I do not have the musical background Boomer does. And I still don't have like the total knowledge that he has in sound design and stuff, but it's like, it's so cool how differently people articulate what they're trying to say. Like even you talking about your process of finding music versus the way we word it. And so, yeah, even just listening to different podcast episodes of different people who are in this arena and really trying to grow in sound design and music production. And hopefully finding some sort of information that will click more with you, I guess. Did that make sense?
Yeah, okay. No, I did.
Yeah.
Just taking
the time, getting curious,
being a good boy. Yeah, you'd be a good boy and take the
Can
time.
Can that be the title of the
focus
podcast?
Focus on your audio. Be a good boy. I'll put it in the mix, but it might not end up in the final cut. Amazing. So last quick question here, team. We kind of talked a bit about what other people can learn and how people like myself can grow in the world of audio, but you know, we're all learning. What's next for you guys? Where do you feel like is your sort of next step in audio or just in wedding films in general?
100%. I honestly love this question. If we ever feel like we've made it, then we're all screwed. You always need to keep learning. I would say for weddings just in general, then I would probably say just branding in general. Like we talked about kind of towards the beginning of really honing in our brand, you know, and that has to do with creating this world that we want people to know. If they see a film, boom, multiplying media. Mm-hmm. That's really what we desire. As far as like the audio stuff that I want to grow into, capturing field recordings on the actual wedding day. and then big goal. We're talking big.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Scoring films, man. Really music is what, you know, I'm best at. So scoring or even writing, writing songs, hopefully getting on Music Bed, Artlist, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like we know what a wedding filmmaker is looking for, especially in dynamics and lyrically, of what would be good for a wedding film. And so actually writing music for wedding films is definitely a big goal of ours.
Amazing, team. Well, I think that's going to do us for today. Amazing. I mean, I've learned a shitload, which has been great. And yeah, thank you guys so much for giving your time, giving your knowledge. It's been amazing to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, bro. It's been awesome. It really means a lot. Seriously, this was so much fun.
Amazing. And sort of to leave our listeners with a little gift, a little prizzy. You guys obviously have your incredible sound design pack for anyone who's wanting to dive into the world of sound design in their films. And we got a little discount, a little promo code, 25% off your pack with the code MBWF25. Link for that will be below for anyone who wants to jump in and grab that. Thank you guys for offering
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. The pack almost killed us trying to make it.
No, it looks amazing. You know, I've I've been on the hunt for a good sound design pack for a while. So, you know, I'll definitely be picking one up. I've been waiting for that discount code just to sneak in there.
Your own discount
code. Just because I'm cheap. That's all right. waiting for my own discount code just to sneak in there. Amazing. Amazing. Beautiful. Well, thank you guys again.
It was so nice to meet you.